hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Hey, you were doing life stories, so we heard a bit of Jake's story, which is pretty awesome, and Luke's, and tonight, just a little bit of my story. Everybody's got a story. Stories are awesome. Bible calls them testimonies. Most people don't know what that is. They think that's something you do in court. So we just call them stories, so it's pretty cool. So I'm going to tell you a little bit of my story tonight. And like I said, everybody's got a story. It's so exciting. I love hearing people's stories where they have an encounter with Jesus and it changes their life. And that certainly happened to me. But in the spirit of ridiculous haircuts and stuff, just got a couple of pictures now. Unfortunately, they've been sideways, but nah, that's not. You turn your head sideways. Look like that. That's me. That's me there when I think, look at the hair, man. I think I'm about 15 years old there. Yeah, it might be my sister. Well, don't say that, Lisa will. Look at that. Oh, I found him in somewhere. Unfortunately, the boys put them in sideways. I think there's another one there. Look at that. That's me in Australia with my hot stuff. You can't see it, but it's a flipping a single fin, Paul. That's how old the way it is. It's on the Gold Coast, Channel 7, yeah? And that's me there. And look at that. This is me sitting for a passport photo, I think. I wasn't Pentecostal then. That's all the others are before I was saved, and then I got saved and started wearing a tie. I know, how ridiculous. Going on with God clothes, we used to call them, wear your tie. So how things have changed, wow. Hey, so gee, those lights are bright. I'm going to come out here. Oh, that's better. Hey, I got... Can you see me okay if I stand here? I was born in Aranui, just not far down the road there. And so grew up in a normal, dysfunctional Aranui family. Pause for laughter. So didn't really know anything about Christianity. We had a smattering of Catholic because we come from Irish Catholic heritage. So we kind of little bit of that. But really didn't know too much. Nobody ever told us anything about Jesus or anything like that. Kind of, you know, God, Jesus, nothing never really came on my radar. And then at the age of about, 15, I think me and my brother discovered surfing. So my grandma lived down in North Beach, so we used to live there. And we just got involved in all of that and then all the stupid stuff that goes along with that as well. Then I think I was 18 when I first went to Australia, and that was the big OE then. We went to Australia, that was a big deal. I remember, I told this the other day, flying from Christchurch to Brisbane return, right, cost me $800 back then. That's ridiculous. Now I can go there for $250. So, man, the airlines were just ripping us off big time. There was only two flights a week, one Qantas and one Air New Zealand, and $800 to go to Brizzy. I can go to flipping New York for that now, just about. So, anyway, went over there and just living on the Gold Coast and all that crazy lifestyle. And they had used to have a surf contest every year called the Stubbies Pro. Stubbies. Who remember Stubbies? There's a few old timers here, yeah. Stubbies were these ridiculous shorts and like boardies, but they were really quite short. And I hated the things. I never wore them and really tight. And I never wore the stupid things, but you wear socks with them, yeah, and sandals and sandals and socks, walk socks up to there. Anyway, the Stubbies, they sponsored the Stubbies Pro, which was a world surfing contest. So I entered into that, I didn't. So we were watching this amazing contest, and all the world's best surfers are at Burley Heads, which is a famous surf break on the Gold Coast. And so, you know, we're sitting there, we're watching this amazing contest happen. And suddenly, one of the local guys, his name is Guy Ormerod, he begins to He's the only Gold Coast local. He's what they call the wild card. So all the top 16 professional surfers in the world automatically get an invite into the contest. The top 32. But they always have a wild card. They just select some local person and they say, this is your Rocky moment. This is your shot at the big time. You don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. But we're going to draw your name out of the hat and you've got automatic entry into the Stubbies Pro, one of the biggest surf contests in the world. And this guy that wins it, the local guy, his name's Guy Ormerod. And he starts to... Suddenly, catches everybody's attention because he starts to, you know, win a few rounds and he begins to progress through and he gets through to the quarterfinals. And it's all over the local newspapers and everything. And everybody's watching Guy Ormerod. But the amazing thing about Guy Ormerod was that he was a fasting, praying, born-again Christian. Totally sold out for Jesus. We didn't know this at all. And so suddenly, as he began to rise through the ranks... He got right through to the semi-finals before he got knocked out. And this was incredible news. And the whole Australian media is this David slays Goliath story. And so, I remember just being amazed by this guy. And he didn't do any of the stuff that all the others were doing. He wasn't smoking dope and you know, getting liquored up in the pub and the whole bit. There's something just very clean about him, but something very attractive about him. I never got to meet the guy, but it kind of had a bit of an impact on me. And then we were sitting on the hill at Burley one day and just watching Jerry Lopez and Alan Byrne, all those guys. Paul knows all these names from the, you know, and Burley was just going off and there's a group on the Gold Coast called Christian Surfers and they would just go out and hand out, you know, tracks and stuff like that. And they gave me this little thing that said, come and hear Guy Ormerod speak at this hall down in Burley. And I thought, wow, that'd be cool. And I put it in my pocket and I forgot all about it and I never went to that meeting. But I started after that meeting Christians everywhere. When God's on your case, when he's after you, when your heart's toward him, he'll bring them across your path. It's incredible. And that's what we pray constantly for people that don't know Jesus, that God will bring the right people across their path. He might not listen to me, they might not listen to you, but God knows the right person. So we pray that. And so I think somebody somewhere was praying for me because I just kept on running into Christians everywhere. And there was just something attractive about them, something compelling, something magnetic. And you got to know that that's what you and I look like because we've got light on the inside of us, because we've got Jesus on the inside of us. And the devil tries to make it all about your behavior. When you behave perfectly, they will be blah, blah, blah. No. It's just the fact that even on your worst day, you still got Jesus shining out of you. And then the Bible says that there's rivers of living water flowing out of us. And when I would get around these Christians, and let me tell you, some of them weren't living their fantastic lives. They had one foot in and one foot out. But I didn't see any of that. When you're really searching, you'll be drawn to the light. And I just felt myself drawn to these people. I wanted to hang around them. But I didn't know anything. And here's the thing. Listen, nobody ever told me. That's why I'm really big on this is how you connect with Jesus. Because nobody ever told me how to. And so I came back to New Zealand. And then I was hitchhiking up to Kaikoura, which is a really good surf break. I'd sent my board ahead on the bus. And I was just because you can't, you know, nobody would pick you up. You would think that they would, but they don't. If you're hitchhiking with a surfboard, no other surfer's going to pick you up because it's just another guy in the break taking waves that you could have. And, you know, so you don't pick up other surfers. You just drive right past them. So that's why I sent my board on ahead. And so I was hitching. And I got to the Waipara turnoff. And I was waiting there. And it was May. It was starting to get a little bit dark. And that road is notorious, or was, for not picking people up. Just conservative South Island people not going to pick up a hitchhiker. You know, it was known for being a terrible road. And so, but I made it. I got to Waipara, but it's starting to get a little bit dark. Now, here's what I do. Now, this amazes me. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20 that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever you could ask or think. Hi, Georgia. Whatever you could ask or think. So God, like he can answer your thoughts, right? So I'm not saying that's the way he answers prayer, but I didn't pray it. I just had this thought prayer towards heaven. Wow, if you're real God, why don't you send along a ride, pick me up? So here I was. So the next thing, you know, so, three or four cars went past, but finally, this car pulls over. And the guy says to me, "Where are you going?" I said, "Kaikoura." He says, "Oh, I'm going all the way. Why don't you jump in?" And I'm like, cool. So he opens the boot, and I go around. I'm throwing my pack in the boot, and as I'm throwing it in, there's these Radio Rima stickers, Jesus Cares stickers. But I'm that dumb, I don't even click. And immediately, I'd forgotten the thought prayer straight away. We do that sometimes. We ask God, he answers, we forget all about it. Crazy humans we are. And so I didn't connect the dots. So I get in the car, and I said to this guy, and I get in the car, I'd seen all the stickers, and then, and he's got all this stuff in the car, and scripture verses, and I'm like, so I said to him, "Are you a Christian?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And he's a real nutty guy, you know. there are nutty Christians, yeah. There are some wacko nutty. He was, even to this day, he was like, and he's a real Bible basher. He's going to tell me the deal, whether I want to hear it or not. So let's be people that, even to this day, even though I'm born again now, I remember that guy as being like that. Let's not be those people. Let's be people that listen to people's hearts. Let's look them in the eye. Let's hear their heart. And let's have an opportunity to present it to them, not bash them with it. And so I remember this guy. So he, and stupid me, he said, "Oh, the Holy Spirit told me to..." Imagine saying that to a non-Christian. He said, "The Holy Spirit told me to pick you up." And Dumbo says, "Really? What's the Holy Spirit? What's that all about?" Oh, my gosh. So I just get Bible bashed. I didn't even got another word in the rest of the drive, another couple of hours to Kaikoura. He's just blah, 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 blah. None of it stuck. None of it sunk in. But I was just happy to get out of that car. But, you know, God's doing something. And so I while I was in Kaikoura, they took some video clips of, it was a pretty big day at Maungamanu. I think we got some video here of some, yeah, good fun. So, so I stayed in Kaikoura for a little while, and then I came back down to Christchurch, And again, I just run into Christians everywhere, and just drawn to them. And this girl invited me to a connect group, but they didn't call it that. She said, "Oh, do you want to come to a meeting?" I didn't know what it was about, but I liked this girl, so I got sucked into going. So anyway, they came and picked me up, and it was at a connect group in Forfar Street. Some of you have heard this before, but it was at one of those hippie kind of connect groups. They all got long hair and sandals and tambourines and singing Kumbaya and sitting around cross-legged and all that. Oh, mate, that was not me. And so they're doing all that, and I thought it was the weirdest thing I'd ever walked in on. They're all clapping and singing Kumbaya and doing tambourines I thought it was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. But there was something in that room. There was an atmosphere in that room. There was something tangible that I just couldn't deny. I thought, what is this? Well, now I know it was the Holy Spirit. But at the time I didn't. I was just this, wow. So this guy, his name was Chuck, and he was an American. and he was probably a YWAMer or something. But he was. Then they finished their singing and they all sat down. Now, I remember this very clearly. Nobody talked to me at all. Unbelievable, isn't it? Here he is, a non-Christian, searching, walks into a Connect group. Now, it was a pretty big Connect group. There's about 25, 30 people there. Nobody talks to me. All these hippies, you know, shy. I still remember that to this day. Nobody talked to me. That's why we're so hard out on when people walk through that door, let's be friendly, let's talk to them. Let's get out of our comfort zone and say hi to people. Been to a few churches where nobody's talked to me. It's tragic. So nobody talked to me. I just couldn't believe it. So I just, because you don't know what the culture is, you just, so I'm just sitting there and this guy's talking, his name's Chuck. And Chuck, I presume he's talking all about Jesus and he's telling the story and all that, but to this day I can't remember what he was talking about at all. But right in the middle of that, something happened to me. And I just knew that he was real. And the only thing I can remember what the Christians had told me was, Calvin, you got to ask Jesus into your heart. That's all I could remember. And so I'm sitting there and I was like, wow. So as all I said internally, I said nothing out loud. I said internally, okay, come in then. See, some people have theologies that you need to repent of all your sins, that you need to do all these things. God will meet you exactly where you're at, even if you don't do the correct formula. So as all I said was, okay, come in then. And something happened to me that night. And I knew something had happened. I didn't know what, but everything was different. So I got in the car to go home, and of course the two girls are in the front and I'm in the back, and they're like, what did you think of that? And I'm So they said, what do you think of that? And I'm just like, good. And they said, oh, do you think you might go again? I'm like, yeah, maybe. But inside, something's going on, and I went home, and I lay on my bed that night, and I looked up at that roof, and I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that he was real, and I knew that he knew every thought of every person on this planet, that he knew every word in every book, on every page of every on this planet. I knew he knew it all, and that he was real. And I was like a stunned mullet, just like, wow. And the next day I got up and everything looked different. Wow. I went outside and those trees looked greener than they'd ever been before. It was just incredible. It was just an encounter. And so I went down, I wandered down to check the surf, and I went up there and I stood there and I was just like looking at it all going, wow. And for the first time, I remember this, first time in my life, I was seeing all this, and I just felt inside I now had someone to thank for all of that, for those waves, for that sunshine, for this life. Something had dramatically changed on the inside. I still hadn't said a word to anybody. So I came home, and my flatmates were there, and we used to just do stuff every day. And so my flatmates come out, and they know I've been hanging around with Christians. They come out like two little demons, and they kind of looking around the corner at me. And I just started doing the dishes. And this is amazing because we lived in this pretty flat where nobody did the dishes. And I just started doing the dishes. And they come out and they're looking. And this is what one of them said to me. He said, are you a Christian? Because they know I've been hanging around with Christians. And I had to think for a second, and I said, yeah, I am. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Now, when I said that, something cemented on the inside of me. Something happened on the inside of me. And later on, I began to read, when I went to church and stuff, I read in the Bible from Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus that God raised him from the dead and confess it out your mouth, you'll be saved. And I'm not saying that anything didn't happen before that point, but Romans 10, 9 and 10 is my testimony. Something supernatural happened to me when I spoke that out. And so, man, and so I said to them, because and tell you what, here's the sensation on the inside of me. This sensation is incredible. It's like, I've never felt this before. What is this sensation? It's called peace. Wow, this peace. And I knew that I was right with him and that I was right with the world. It was an incredible feeling. Never had that before. I've heard one guy describe it like this. He said it was like being born in a boiler room, you know, where there's machinery, noise all the time, and living there with this noise and clatter and constant noise, and suddenly someone turns the engine off and it's deathly quiet. That's what it felt like on the inside. Wow. Incredible. And so they said to me, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. Now, this is incredible. One of them said to me, well, do you think we could become Christians? You know what I said to them? I don't know. Get away from it. You're not having this. It's just this amazing feeling. You know, no, because I don't know. This could have just been a thing for me, you know. I didn't know it. And I'm like, no, you're not taking this away from me. Nah, go get your own. I don't know if I even thought that, but it's just like, oh, I don't know. I don't know, but you're trying to get it on my good thing. It's not happening. And so I rung up one of the girls that had taken us there, and I said, oh, look, my friends want to become Christians. And they're like, what? And they said, and I said, oh, yeah, I asked him to come into my heart. And this is on the phone. And I said, while I was talking, I reckon I'd barely hung up the phone, and they come up the drive. Come running in, and my two flatmates become Christians, and we had this kind of a surge of a bit of a mini revival, yeah, down North Beach. And we used to terrorise the flipping street with parties and all kinds of things, and the neighbours absolutely hated us. And suddenly, dong, change. And we're not doing that anymore, and they're pretty stunned. And then someone said to me, oh, you need to go to church. And I'm like, really? I didn't equate this experience with church. Isn't that interesting? And so they said, yeah. I said, okay. And you got to read your Bible. And I'm like, a Bible, really? And I said, okay. And so the next Sunday, we went down to New Brighton Christian Centre, which was the nearest church, and I walked in, and they were all throwing our thing, clapping and singing, and I thought, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. But I can't deny that I feel like I'm at home. I feel that same presence in here that I felt when I walked into that Connect group. And sometimes I think on Sunday we get used to it, we get anesthetized, if that's the word, to the presence of God. But new people walking in, oh, it's entirely different. Because we can think, oh, that wasn't such a great meeting, or it was a good meeting, or whatever, or I got something out of that, or I didn't, or whatever. But listen, when people come in that have no experience with the presence of God, they will feel something. They will feel it, without a doubt. And so so began this journey, and, you know, all over the place. And then I felt like I wanted to be a preacher, and so I went to Bible school, and then I went up to India, spent a year up there as a missionary, and so here we are today. But I'm big on people having an encounter. You know, not head Christianity. John Wesley put it like this. He said that there's a type of Christianity called mental assent, where you mentally agree, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and I mentally. But listen, when you really get born again, it's a supernatural experience on the inside of you, and you know something has happened. And there's a transition at that point. And at that point, the Bible says that you go from destiny in hell to heaven, from light to darkness. There's a point in time when you are delivered from all of that. And it's not all wonderful. It's all not all a bed of roses. It is a difficult journey, but it's a path worth following Him. And so we want to do that. We want to create an atmosphere here every Sunday for people to have that encounter with Him, where they feel His presence, when they really get born again, when they know something has happened. Now, I don't put that on everybody, that you have to have that experience that I had. but you should feel something. There should be a change on the inside of you if you really get born again. There should be a desiring for the things of God. There should be a wanting to take the next steps of getting baptized and all the rest of it. And so, yeah, so that's my story. Yeah. So, and I'm sure you guys have got awesome stories, you know, about your life, but the main thing is that we actually find that. I went to a church a few years ago, and this haunts me forever and always will, was they had a big banner. I feel like crying when I tell this story because it's so pathetic. They had a banner across the back of the church up on the stage saying, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And so, and they would all talking all about it. And so I'd been away for a couple of weeks and I came back and I saw this couple sitting in the back that I hadn't seen before. And I just went over and I just started talking to them. And the next week, a friend of mine went over and started talking to them. And after a bit more conversation, he said to them, now remember, they've been coming to this church every morning, 10 a.m. for 6 weeks. And he says to them, "Well, you know, what's the deal? Are you Christians?" And they go, "No. How do we do that? How do we become Christians?" And he was shocked to the core, like I was when I found out. And he said, "Well, it's simply this. Would you want to become a Christian right now?" "Yes, we do. We've been coming here for 6 weeks trying to find out how. We saw the thing and then talking all about it." Listen, guys, we have to know how to do that, how to learn how to connect people with Jesus. And they prayed a simple prayer and got born again, but it took all of that. So listen, I'm not saying we're like that. We are absolutely the opposite, but let's be on the lookout for people. Let's just not talk all about God all day long, but let's take that opportunity to say to people, "Would you like to become a Christian right here, right now?" It's amazing how quick when people respond. I went to, again, Oamaru when I first went. I was working with the youth group down there. It was a particular church down there, and they asked me to speak at their youth group, and there's 150 kids. It was a massive thing. And so I got up there, and halfway through I'm thinking, something's not right here. And so I just said to them, "How many of you want to receive Jesus right now?" And 20 or 30 of them all put their hands up, and the youth pastor just about fainted because she'd been working with these kids for about a couple of years and didn't know and hadn't perceived that they actually weren't born again. Lit a fire under me. I know Paul's like this as well. Listen, let's be mindful that people need to know how to get saved. They need to know how to connect with Jesus. I had no idea. And we need to be able to lead them simply and say, "Would you like to become a Christian right now?" Because some people have no idea. Some people think, "If I go to church, I'll be one." Some people think, "If I do a course, I'll be one." Some people actually think that when they get baptized, they become one. We need to be very clear about how simple the gospel is. It's believing in Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior, that he is the Messiah, that he rose from the dead. And when I believe that and confess that with my mouth, I will be saved. How awesome is that? Wow. And so tonight, it's just very possible that somebody is here tonight that has never actually done that. And so I'm just going to get all of us to pray, close our eyes, and let's all pray together. And if that's you tonight, you can just pray along with everybody else and no one will know, but God will know. So let's just pray tonight, close our eyes. You guys down the back there, close your eyes and pray with me. Yeah? Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my heart, come into my life. Forgive me of everything I've ever done wrong. Make me your child. Help me follow you. Thank you for saving me. Amen, amen. Awesome. You can look up at me. If you prayed that for the first time and you want to talk to me afterwards, please come and do that.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.